Welcome back to In the Moment. There's nothing good about cancer, except perhaps when it retreats. But there is something that cancer patients often report, the shift they experience as the pace of life slows. Priorities become strikingly clear. You notice things you didn't notice before, the way the flowers open, the detail of your child's day that now remains forever etched in your memory. We're talking with Denise Ross this hour. She's currently living with stage 4 breast cancer and undergoing chemotherapy treatment. Again. Now let's get back to that conversation as we talk about finding life in the midst of crisis and how people discover perspective in unexpected places. You're always preparing to die in some ways, but you're also always preparing to live. And simultaneously, in a way that until you have this sort of thing hit you in the face, you don't realize that that's what you're doing.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people just live like they're going to live forever, no matter, even when they're, you know, elderly. I've had people much, much older than me, you know, I look at them and I can say, like, they're not slowing down. They're not doing anything to, they're just still going like they were 40 years ago, you know, living the same kind of lifestyle, the same pace, the same whatever. And so if there's anything to be grateful for, you know, it is that it just does force you to do certain things and change certain things about yourself that you probably wouldn't. I can tell you I wouldn't if I didn't have this or some other thing forcing me to just slow down, do things differently, prioritize different things. And so that's something that I do appreciate very much.
Yeah. How do you parent with cancer?
Well, I have a partner, thankfully, a husband, and I really hadn't had much trouble until this year. Early this year, I had to undergo some radiation treatment to my back, to my spinal cord area, and thankfully they got everything that they were aiming at back there.
Right.
But it really, really gave me some fatigue. Like, you just can't overcome. You just can't sometimes. It's not that you can't get out of bed, but you can't stay out of bed for very long, and you just need to lay down and rest. And so there are times when, yeah, you just have to kind of give up the control of mom's going to come down and make dinner, or mom's going to set the bedtime, or mom's going to do this. Mom is out of the picture for now. Other than that, when I'm, you know, that was for 2 or 3 months, which was plenty long enough for me. But other than that, you know, it's just sometimes, oh, mom's got to go to bed early tonight, and I'll see you guys in the morning, you know. And so I've been lucky. I haven't had too severe of a problem. And like I said, I've been able to be there with my kids a lot more than I probably would have otherwise.
Right. And pay attention. Yeah. You listen to your body so much more. Do you also listen to, you know, life so much more, in the sense that you find yourself more present and remembering more of, you know, what your kids said, or what the, you know, what day the flowers opened, or what have you?
Oh,
do you find more?
Absolutely. Yeah, you really do. And again, it's not a conscious effort. It's just you're at a slower pace. A lot of the part of life that is work that takes up so much time and energy for most adults, know, I don't have that to a large degree right now. And so that can be really nice. And it does open up your time and the energy that you do have for the most important things, you know, your family.
Think when you're better, we'll say when you're all
You're
all better and you have your next stage of your career, that you'll be able to, like, is it a threshold that you cross and never go back, like marriage, like having a kid? It just changes a little bit, and you'll bring that with you into the next stage of your career?
Oh, no question about it. I mean, even if I was lucky enough to have what they call a complete response, which means the common word is remission, but the medical term that I hear from every doctor is no evidence of disease,
right?
Which means they can't see anything on a scan. If I'm lucky enough to get to that point, then I still have to be daily diligent on, you know, the nutrition, the exercise, all the other components that keep a person healthy in every way, mentally, emotionally, There are so many components, and there are things. That's the thing. There are things you can do. And I want to say, statistically, for breast cancer stage 4, survival is 2 years. Well, I'm halfway through my 4th year.
Yeah.
And my doctor at Mayo said, don't pay attention to the statistics. They're old. We have all these new treatments. There's all these new things. So at the same time that cancer is hitting people younger and younger and younger, they've got all these advancements in treatment that are coming very rapidly. Hmm. You know, Jimmy Carter had a stage 4 melanoma, and he's cured.
Right.
So it's not an impossible thing. Cool. So there are things that you can do, and that if I'm lucky enough to get to that point, that I must do in order to maintain my life, you know, because if I get rid of this, boy, believe me, I don't want it back again.
Right.
Right.
You said the word complete response. Well, that's a good title for a book. Are you writing?
No. So let me put that up. So many people have said, you need to write a book about this. And I'm like, you know, I do not want to live in this space any more than I have to. I don't know that I have all that much to offer in particular, you know, other than
right.
I could tell the story of my personal journey. But I don't know how helpful that is to other people. And I don't have enough medical knowledge to really offer advice and tell people how to. So many cancers are so different. Even within
right.
breast cancer,
right.
there's 3 different subtypes, and now they're finding out that those are often mixed together in what they call heterogeneous tumors. And so you might have 2 kinds of breast cancer in one little, you know, mass. And
right.
so it's, yeah, it's but my, complicated.
My question is, are you writing? Not necessarily are you writing oh, about this, but
you know,
are you writing?
So I found that in composing emails...
Right.
That I'm like, oh man, I really miss this. And so I have thought about that. You know, I have plenty of other things to do, but yeah,
right.
I think that's something that I miss. And so maybe I need to incorporate that in as part of my overall health approach,
maybe,
because it
yeah.
really is something I do enjoy.
Yeah. We started out by talking about some of the things that people say that are well-intentioned, but maybe fall a bit flat. What are some of the best things people have said to you?
You know, the... That's a really good question, and I don't have a really awesome answer for it. The best answers that I appreciate, and the next cancer person might not feel this way,
right.
but it's where they just kind of look at you and they go, oh, yeah, you go to Rochester, the Mayo Clinic. Have you ever eaten at this restaurant?
Yeah.
I was like, no, is that a good place to eat? And they just kind of accept it and take it and they don't give you the look, and they don't, you know, want you to be morose with them. I've appreciated those. They've always struck me because they stand out.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, Lori.
But that brings us back to sort of where we started, in the sense that, you know, it used to be, well, we had to whisper the word cancer, and now it's like, oh, did you eat at that restaurant that I had when my husband was getting treatment, or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people who are experiencing, and that it becomes... you know, more of a, you know, where are you from? What city are you from? Kind of, how do you know so-and-so? Kind of conversation, which normalizes it, which is a little discouraging to think of, but then also encouraging in the fact that there are so many people walking around who have those stories to tell.
That's true. And, you know, I'm hopeful. My personal kind of intuitive belief is that the food supply and the nutrition that we've been eating is a major factor in what we're seeing with the cancer trends. And now that we're seeing that pendulum swing back to local food, you know, locally produced food, organic food, healthy food, growing your own garden, that the pendulum will swing the other way again, and we'll start to see a change. You know, it'll take a generation, but I'm hoping and I'm hopeful that as we improve our lifestyles collectively as a society, that will affect our overall health as a society as well. And that's not just cancer. I mean, we have so many other diseases, diabetes, heart disease, et cetera, that are affected by that whole lifestyle and nutrition and what we put into our bodies and how that affects you at the cellular level, which I used to think, well, I can just get this quick hamburger at the drive-thru and it won't matter. Well, that beef has hormones in it, ladies, and those hormones are going to wreak havoc on you at some level, and hopefully you're strong enough to fight them off. But anyway.
It matters.
It does matter.
Yeah. Denise Ross, is there anything else I should have asked you that I didn't? Anything you wish I hadn't asked you?
Okay, here's one thing. As a political junkie,
right?
This is not taking sides on a political issue, but when they were voting to repeal Obamacare, I was watching very closely because it was going to affect me directly. Because if they had repealed Obamacare, insurance companies would once again be able to impose lifetime limits on coverage, and that could easily have cut me off from my insurance. And I'll just tell you, at that particular time, I was getting weekly treatment of a chemotherapy and two other targeted drugs. And the targeted drugs are the ones that just hit the cancer and they don't have the side effects. That's another little piece of the cancer vocabulary.
Right.
But anyway, the monthly bills that my insurance company was paying were $25,000 and $30,000. So you could easily hit a lifetime limit of $5 million, let's say, in a very short amount of time.
Right.
And then I would be done.
Yeah.
And then my two sons wouldn't have a mom. And I don't know if it's worth $5 million or whatever it's worth, but I think people need to remember that those things and those effects are very real to some of us.
It's worth it. It's worth it to us who know you. Thank you. Thank you. Denise Ross joined us from the SDPB studios in Rapid City. We recorded our conversation on Thursday. She's back for more chemotherapy treatment this week. Like so many people with cancer, Denise's family and friends are rallying in support, raising money for her expenses. They've set up an account in her name at Wells Fargo Bank. Throughout the month of June, you can find them at Sam's Club in Rapid City, selling raffle tickets on Saturdays and Sundays. The family is also holding a sale on Saturday, June 9th at 6517 Muirfield Drive in Rapid City, where you can buy tools and fishing gear, golf clubs, art, and collectibles. The proceeds go to Denise's Cancer Fund. And as always, Denise Ross joins in the moment as a Dakota political junkie whenever possible. We hope that today's conversation with Denise serves you and it helps you navigate those difficult talks with the people in your life. All of us at South Dakota Public Broadcasting wish her well and thank her for sharing this part of her story. From all of us at SDPB Radio, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening. Denise Ross is not a physician. Today, she told us her personal story. Studies about the link between aspartame and cancer are inconclusive. Please talk with your doctor for accurate medical information regarding your own health.